Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Just one more time. Lord God, I thank you for your grace, your mercy that you allowed everybody to come out, Lord God. God, you're worthy of it all. Lord God, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand behind your desk, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to hide me behind the cross, Lord God. Lord Jesus, don't let them see me, but let them see and hear you, Lord Jesus. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the opportunity through our assistant pastor, Sonia Gross, for being able to teach Sunday school this morning. Amen. I'm going to talk about Jesus is my champion. This day, I mean, it's so awesome. What is a champion? It's a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in a competition. It is also known as a warrior, a fighter. This morning, as we look on this day in history, as we as Christians know it as Palm Sunday. This day celebrates Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When the people were joyful, laying down palm branches. So Jesus, he was riding on a donkey. So as he rode on a donkey, he rode on top of the palm leaves. And when they ran out of the palm leaves, they used their coats or their garments to lay down so he could walk on them. And Jesus, as Jesus came through the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna." What does Hosanna mean? Hosanna means save us. Oh, grant salvation in Hebrew. That's what it means. Hosanna combines a plea for salvation with a joyous expression of praise and hope for God's intervention. The entry of Jesus on the donkey was a reminder that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve and give us life. He gave his life as a ransom for our many sins. He stands as a champion fighting for us and for our salvation. In Isaiah 42 and 13, it says, "The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise up the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies." This scripture right here is telling us that Jesus has got my back and he's got your back. It doesn't matter who or what or even what the enemy is coming up against you, against me or you, as long as we know whom we are and who has us. The ultimate champion fighting our battles. Then what are we supposed to do while the champion Jesus is fighting our battles on our behalf? In Exodus 14 through and 13, it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them no more.'" Isn't that awesome? He was telling us, no matter what you're going through, the things that you're going through, as long as I'm fighting for you, as long as I've got your back, you know, you've turned it over to me, you don't have to worry about that trouble, that issue that's been coming up against you, that plague that's been trying to weigh you down, is trying to make sure you don't make it, you don't come forth as a conquering soldier like Jesus did. He said, you don't have to worry about it, because this day, your enemies, your adversaries, whomever has been coming up against you, you shall see them no more. Why? Because the champion has stepped on the scene. The Savior has stepped on the scene. Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I got glad when I heard that. I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus, for stepping on my scene. So because our champion stood up for us when I thought when I thought all hope was gone, when I thought I was all alone, I couldn't call or talk to anyone. Nobody would answer the phone. Nobody would do that. But we had this person named Jesus. He said, he's our helper. He's our healer. He's our protector. He's our confidant. He is our friend. He is our champion. And what his name is Jesus. All we got to do is call on the name of Jesus. When we're going through some of the roughest times of our life, the main thing you need to call on is Jesus. It's okay if you call on your husband, call on your wife, call on your boo, your bae, whoever it may be. But the main person you need to call on, you need to call on the conquering giant. You need to call on the Savior. You need to call on the champion who has never lost a battle, and he never will. You need to call on him because he has your back, and he has your best interest at heart. He will always show up on my behalf and on your behalf and conquer every issue and circumstances we may be facing or going through. Oh, he deserves all the praises and all the worship, all the glory, all the honor, because we know that there is victory after this. You know, you got to praise, you got to go through, but know on the other side, there is victory after this. When we acknowledge where the victory comes from, then you can, it makes it a little bit easier to go through. It makes it a little bit easier to take on what's trying to take you on, because you realize, hey, I got him beside me. He's going to take me through. He's going to bring me through, and I'm going to get the victory out of this. But first, he's going to get the victory because I believed on him and trusted in him that he was going to bring me through. He was going to see me through. He wasn't going to let this take me down. He wasn't going to let this capsize me. You know, if you've ever been in a boat can capsize, meaning turn over, meaning mess you up. You can get killed, you can be capsized. But I thank God he is the one that keeps you afloat. He is the one that keeps you on level ground. He is the one that says, I got you. He is the one that says, don't worry about nothing. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make your request be made known. So when he says, make your request be made known, that means I can go to him no matter what's coming up against me, no matter what I'm going through. I can go to the champion. I can go to my champion and give him everything. Praise the Lord. Glad to see our brother D.A. in the house. Praise God. He's been sick, but praise God. Glad you're in the house. Today is Palm Sunday, which starts the beginning of Holy Week. That ultimately leads up to Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, which brings us into our redemption, our salvation, and our reconciliation in love and joy and peace, and eventually the eternal life to be able to be with him in the end. You know, 1 week makes it to where we'll be with him, because he had to come down in order for us to be able to go back with him. Holy Week emphasizes Jesus as our champion, a humble king who conquered death and offers us peace and salvation and a new life spent with him. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited when I think about a new life. And not only that, I can have a new life down here. You know, that's just like, what was it? Nicodemus, when he was telling me, he had a question with Jesus. He said, well, how do I become new? You become new by salvation, by giving yourself over to the Lord, by your forgiveness of you repenting. And that's how you become new, because he said, I cannot return unto my mother's womb. So how am I supposed to get clean? How am I supposed to be new? How am I supposed to be fresh? He said, by the Spirit and the water, you have to come to him. You have to come lay everything down to him. You cannot hold all these things that you think are so important. He said, no, lay them down. Get repentance, ask for forgiveness, and then you shall have the salvation and the peace and knowing that your life is new and knowing in the end where you're going to spend eternal life is with our Savior and Father. In Hebrews 12, 1-3, it's one of my favorite scriptures, it says, therefore, since we are surpassed by such a huge crowd of witnesses to life of faith, Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sins that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And before I go to the next verse on that, you know, he said, we are surpassed, meaning there's been other people, great people that's went before us. They've already crossed over the finish line. They already broke the, if you've ever been a runner, if you've ever played a sport and you've crossed home plate, or you've been a runner and you run through the tape and, you know, you're first place, second place. It doesn't matter. You made sure you placed yourself in a resurrection atmosphere to where you know that you're going to be okay. You know that you've got salvation. You know you got life. You know that you have life, and that life more abundantly, not just here, but on into wherever within heaven. You know what I'm saying? It's just awesome. We got to run this race with endurance. The endurance that we have to have is the word of God. We got to have the presence of him. We got to be able to run and not get so easily distracted. Thank you, Lord. Easily distracted, because this world can bring you so many distractions and get you off of your square to where you're like, I'm losing my mind. I just don't know what's going on. No, baby, you're not losing your mind. You've just lost your spot where you were supposed to be standing in him, where you're supposed to be running this race that he's already set before you. He's already told you how to do it, where to go, what to say, how to act, and everything. But it's up to you how you run this race. It's up to you whether you stand in him, or whether you fall off to the wayside, or you allow somebody to trip you up, or you can even allow your own self to trip you up and get you messed up out of the grace of God. In verse 2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, the disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. In verse 3, it says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Think about that. All the stuff that Jesus had to go through in order to get back to the Father, in order to get back home to us, to Dad. You know, and he didn't have to do it if he didn't want to. He wanted to. He had a desire to see us come back home with him. So therefore, he took the hostility. He took the beating. He took the name calling. He took people spitting on him. He took people pulling his beard. He took the whipping. He took the lashes. He took it all just for us. So therefore, how dare we act like we're just so weary and we're just so destitute and we just can't make it, we can't do nothing? No, look back on what our Savior did for us, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. And I don't know about y'all, I'm happy he did, because that right, he allowed me to have a right to the tree of life, meaning I can have that life more abundantly here on earth and then over in heaven. But the thing about it, he ran his race. He endured everything. Sometimes the things that come upon us, we think, I can't endure it. I don't have the strength. I can't make it. This is, God, why? Why are you putting all this on me? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Okay, well, Jesus was like that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He got down and he kneeled and he was like, Father, you see what they're doing. You see what I'm going to have to go through. But let this cup pass from me. But then he said he got some strength. The endurance, I believe, just kind of dropped into him. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Sometimes we got to have a nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It's hard to take our hands off of a situation, because why? It's right there in our face. We think we can fix it. I know, especially as a woman, I think I'm a fixer. I try to keep the peace. I try to make sure everybody's okay, and this is going this way, and that's going that way. And when it's not, I'm not right. Something, I'm off kilter. I'm just not. But God said, because you're not supposed to be, because that's my fight. That's my battle. You're trying to do something that you was not created to do. You was just created to worship me. You was created to love me. You was created to be with me. You was created to know that I am the conquering hero. I am the giant in your life. I am the one who gave David the knowledge to get the rock to kill Goliath. I'm the one that gives you the ability to get up every morning. I'm the one that gives you the ability to go to the job that you may not like, but nevertheless, you go there because that's where I placed you at. So therefore, you don't know why I placed you there. I placed you there to be a light unto the unsaved people. So therefore, endure what you're going to go through. Endure what you go through because in the end, there will be victory after this. Victory after this. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, excuse me, y'all. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him who cares deeply. His affection is deeply for you. He watches over you so carefully. You know, when you feel like there's nobody there and nobody is watching you, then you just think, why is all this coming on me? Why? And God's saying, because I'm allowing it. That's just like when Job, in the book of Job, in the first chapter, when Satan, he decided he got into the group that was going up to God to talk about what was going on down here in the earth realm. And God was like, what are you doing here? And Satan said, I'm just going to and fro, just roaming the earth, seeing basically what I can get into. I'm paraphrasing, but it's rounding that. So God said, have you considered my servant Job? He is upright. He is without spot nor blemish. And Satan said, no, I can't touch him. You got your hands on him. You've covered him. You've blessed him. You've given him everything. And God said, I'll take my hand off. And he said, and Satan was like, okay. But one thing, I love what God said, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. You can't take his life. So therefore, Satan did everything he could, and Job went through it, and he endured the process. He was like, why am I going through this? Well, actually, it was Job's wife was questioning God, why are you still serving someone that is allowing you to go through this? And Job told his wife, said, you talk like a foolish woman, because he said, curse God and die. You talk like a foolish woman. And the thing about it is, Job told his wife, said, do you not think that we should take the bad as long as and the good, or we should just always take the good and then not ever have adversity? We should not ever go through anything. We should not ever get messed up or tripped up or all these things come upon us. No. We're going to go through stuff. Some stuff is one thing. Three things I've always said, and I will always say it. Some things are things you put your own self through. Some things it's the enemy, and sometimes it's a test from God. So you have to decipher, which one am I going through? And how am I going to go through it? Because it depends on what your outcome is going to be. Are you going to come out a champion? Are you going to come out with sulking and like, I can't believe I'm going through this. This thing came again. I can't. Da-da. No, check yourself. Check your surroundings. Check your situation and what you're going through. So therefore, you know how to pray. You know how to talk to God. You know how to give it to him and say, okay, I got the battle. Now leave me alone and let me work. Sometimes we want to change everything, and sometimes it's not for us always to change it. It's for us. It's for the making of us. It's for the endurance of us. It's for us to say, hey, we made it to the other side, but we made it to the other side because why? We trusted and believed in the Savior, the champion that we had. So we give our champion, Jesus, everything, and I like a boss. My husband says this all the time. I'll be like, Why you talk like that? You just strong talk, you know, just, you know. And I'm like, he says, because I'm a boss. And I think about that all the time. He said, I'm a boss. And then God brought that to me. He said, Jesus had to be a boss. He had to be able to stand still regardless when people was coming up against him. He had to be able to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And Peter was one of his top dogs, you know what I'm saying? He had to be able to tell him flat-footed, hey, I have prayed for you because the enemy has wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. He had to be able to tell people in some of the hardest situations that he knows he was getting ready to go through, he had to stand still and be like, well, I still got to be the boss. I still got to direct them. I still got to give them guidance. I still got to give them the way to be able to make it back home with me and the Father. So therefore, he had to be a boss. And then him being a boss, he took it all. Sometimes when you're a boss, you got to take all the negativity. You got to take the nastiness. You got to take the smart mouths. You got to take it when people walk out of you on a text. You got to take it when the person on the job tries to trip you up to where you lose your cool, to where then you're in an office meeting to where, No, you got to understand who you are and whom you are and stay grounded and fitted in him. That way he can walk you through in every situation that you go through. Why? Because he has your back and he has your best interest at heart, because that's what a champion does. He has the best interest at heart. He's looking behind saying, come on, come on. I've made it over here. Come on, come with me. You can make it. Don't stay back here. Come on. There's glory after this. There's victory after this. There's sunshine after this. There's smiles after this. There's life after this. There is happiness after this. So come on. Don't stay back where you was. Come on up out of what you in. He says, when Jesus took all that, he took our sins. He took our concerns. He took our worries. He took our tears. He took our pains. He took our hurts. He took our disappointments. And everything we may be going through, he took it like a boss. You know, he's like, okay, I'm ready. After he got down, finished praying, and I believe one of the angels came down and encouraged him and strengthened him, he got up from wherever he was kneeling and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I'm ready. I know they're coming. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Because sometimes when you're being a boss, it means you're not going to have that many friends around you. You're not going to have friends. I used to own a salon. I had to be a boss. I had to let some people go. Did it hurt? Yeah. But I had to do what God said do. Because when I didn't do what God said, who did that fall on? That fall back on me. That fall back on me because why? I was the one holding Jesus. They wasn't. So therefore, you gotta stand even in the most uncomfortable position sometimes that you get put in. But you stand there nevertheless in knowing that he's got your back. He's going to be there with you. Jesus places everything, every worry, every concern, every hurt, every pain, everything upon his shoulders. And he takes it to the cross. And at the cross, that's where Jesus got the victory for us. He said, it is done. It is finished. So therefore, all we have to do is come to him. He's not going to move anymore. We have to move to him. We have to make sure this is where we want to be. We want to be tied up, tangled up, wrapped up in him so much to where we know no matter what comes up against us, I got a conqueror. I got a savior. I know I can make it. I know he's going to bring me through. Yeah, it don't look good right now. Oh, they saying this and they saying that. You know what? The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And the thing about it is, when you were believing on the report of the Lord, you're believing that Jesus has already conquered it all. There's nothing more he can do. He conquered it all. He conquered it all on the cross. There's nothing left for him to do. So what does Jesus get in return for being a champion, winning? Well, his Father. And his Father gives him this. I went to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. And at that name, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue declares that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father. He is y'all's champion. He is everything that you need. Everything that you need, it's in Christ Jesus. When you're going through some of the worst times of your life, you know, I'm going to think about myself. Yeah, I'm going through so many different things, but I have to understand, am I going to believe this word or not? Am I going to trust this word or not? It's easy to get up here and read. It's easy to get up here sometimes and teach. Sometimes it's not. But when you get hit upside the head with some of the realities of life, that's when you got to look back on your staff. That's why, who was it, Paul went and told Timothy, go back and get my staff. The staff back in that day, it had all your victories on it. It had all your awards on it. You know, it had, oh, I defeated this. I conquered that. I was with him when he did this. Okay. So therefore, when you look back on it, you understand, I have that to look back on. I have that to draw strength from. I have that to say, Lord, if you brought me to this, you're going to bring me up out of this. Because why? He is your champion. He is your everything. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be there. He said, I will be there when your mother and your father forsake you. He said, I will take you up. I don't know about y'all. That is an awesome champion. That is somebody who says, I don't care what you're going through. As long as you are in me and I am in you, hey, there's nothing that you can't ask me for. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for why I care for you. Give them to me. Stop carrying around these weights that so easily beset you. These weights that you can't do nothing about. Those weights that just they know that you're just always going to return back to them because that's what you've always done. But let's make it a mission in our lives not to return back to your folly. Don't return back to what God has brought you up out of. Move on. Rise up. Be the conquering hero that Jesus was for us and still is every day. Every day we get a new beginning. He said, my mercies are brand new every day. So if his mercies are brand new every day, then that means I got brand new grace. I got brand new victory. I've got brand new accomplishments. I've got brand new strength. I've got brand new vision. I've got brand new everything. Lord, I give it to you because why? You said if I give it to you, you take care of it. You said you wouldn't withhold no good thing unto those that walk up right before you. So therefore, there's a stipulation in that scripture. So what is it? Are you walking upright before him? It's kind of hard to go to somebody and ask them for something when you ain't even had two words to speak to somebody about. I've had that. Man, you don't even talk to me. but Miriam, hey, can you help me with this? You don't even know what I'm going through. You've not even had a relationship with me. And that's one of the things that Jesus wants us to have with him is a relationship. So therefore, we can come to him no matter what. But see, Jesus is so awesome, he doesn't even say anything like that. That was me talking, because he said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to me. Sometimes we feel like that we are so shamed. We have so much that's come up against us. We've done too much that we think in our head that he will not take us back. Let me tell you, he will take you back. All you got to do is come to him and say, Lord Jesus, it's me. It's me again. I need you. I need you because I understand I can't walk this walk without you. I can't make this move without you. I can't even put on the right clothes without you. I have to ask you for everything. I don't know about you, but I have to ask him. I didn't go to bed till like 2 o'clock this morning because I kept going through, what do you want me to put on? What do you want me to put on? What do you want me? And he finally said, there it is. But the thing about it is, that's okay, because why? I want to be in right standing with him. I want to be able to say, when I walk around, I'm comfortable. And why am I comfortable? Because why? I listen to my Father. I listen to Jesus. I listen to the one that was guiding me, who was directing me, who was leading me into the right things. I thank him for that, because if I lean on my own thoughts, I'm going to mess my own self up. That's why in Proverbs 3:5-6, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I love that. The last word, P-A-T-H-S. That means every path you take. I will direct it. I will lead you. I will guide you. I got your back. All you got to do is just know who you are in me and decide where you want to be in me. Is this what you want? You really want me? Because when you get me, you taking on a whole lot. Because warfare is coming when you take on me. The enemy's coming when you take on me. Because why? I denounced what I used to be. I denounced the sin. I denounced being with that person. I denounced being doing that. No, I want to be with Christ Jesus because I understand in the end, that's all that matters. In the end, it's all that matters when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up, and I'm going to make you ruler over many. I don't know about y'all, but that's what we are living for him to say, well done. Well done, champion. You made it over. You crossed over. Well done. Now come on up here and get your mansion. Come on up here and get your crown. Come on up here and get everything that I told you was going to achieve down there on the earth. Because why? I told you and you believed it. You took that little grain of mustard seed and you planted it, you watered it, you believed in it, and now here's your reward. Here's your reward. Jesus is our champion. Get ready to quiz 11:15. I thank God that he is our champion. This week, today, is so awesome. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you, this is Palm Sunday. Very, very important Sunday. It started it all. This started it all, Palm Sunday. And I thank God for that. Thank God for the opportunity to stand before his people and tell y'all, he's our champion, y'all. He's got us. He's got us. As long as you want him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to come up on you. He's already sent the invitation. So it's up to you to accept it. Do you want him as your champion? Take him. Put him in your corner. He's the best. My husband watches a lot of boxing. He's the best manager that you could ever have. You don't have to look at somebody else. Just look up. And he's got you. He's got you. If anybody have any questions or anything, if not, I'm going to close out with prayer, and then we'll be ready, get ready for our 11:30 service. All right. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our champion. I thank you, Lord God, for you see the needs of every last person that's in this building, Lord Jesus, and those that are on their way. Lord God, I ask that you, Father, you set down upon them, Lord Jesus, that you do what only you can do. Not us, Lord Jesus, but of you. Lord God, I ask that you bless the rest of the remaining of the service here at Growth Temple Ministries. Lord God, I thank you for the ability that you allowed me to stand here before your people. Lord God, I ask you to bless each and every person that's in this place. We pray this in your mighty and precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.